Well, good morning. Very warm welcome to our worship gathering here in the building. And a very warm welcome to those of you tuning in on the live stream. And welcome if you've chosen to watch this at a different time of day. It could be Sunday, it could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, who knows. But whenever you are watching this and tuning in, welcome. We hope and pray that God will be with you wherever you are, because that's his promise to us here today, that wherever two or three gather in his name, he is there with us. So whether we are here together this very morning in real time, or whether you are tuning in real time or watching this at some other time, God is with us all, and we have that assurance and that promise today. For those of you who don't know or maybe have forgotten, my name is Neil Maddock, and it's a pleasure and a privilege to be invited to share with you this morning something from God's Word and to lead us through our time together of worship to God. And we're going to be taking communion a little bit later. For those of you in the room, you will see the table already laid up with these amazing little cups. Have you used these before? Yes. These are great. I came across these for the first time a couple of months back, and I genuinely thought somebody was giving me a refreshment when I walked into church and they handed me this cup, and then I realized what it was. A fantastic invention. But for those of you tuning in at home or whenever you're watching this, if you haven't done so already, can we encourage you to get some bread and some juice ready so that you can take part in this communion as well? And we're going to be sharing that a little bit later on in our time together. We'll be singing songs of worship and praise to God, and then opening up his word and looking at Peter's message, Peter's sermon that he preached on that day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2. So that's kind of what's coming up this morning, but I want to commit our time to God in prayer before we sing our first song together. So let's take a moment to pray together. Father, we thank you for that promise that wherever two or three gather in your name, you are there in the midst of us. And Father, we thank you that that means that you are here with us today at Duncan Road. Father, I thank you that that means that you are in the homes of people watching today, and you are in the homes of people that will watch throughout the week. Lord God, you are always with us. You promise to never leave us or abandon us. And I pray that today we will not only know you with us, but we will sense you with us, Father, through your Holy Spirit working in us and through us. So Lord God, we commit our time to you. We open up our hearts and our minds to you today and pray that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to listen to and reflect on our first song together this morning, which is "To God Be the Glory."
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. taught us great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our rapture, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Certainly challenging in these times when we're not able to sing out together, isn't it? To sing, praise the Lord, great things he has done. But we're going to spend some time praying together now. And I think one of the things to be praying about is that we will move back into that freedom that we used to have of being able to remove our masks and sing out the praises of our Savior Jesus, amongst other things. So let's spend some time praying together this morning. Father, we thank you that your word tells us that we can have a confidence when we come before you in prayer. And Father, as we come this morning to bring you these requests, Lord, these petitions, Father, help us to have a confidence that you hear us and that when you hear us, you will answer. And Father, we do pray for our nation at this time. Especially, Lord, we pray for the entire world, but we want to focus on our nation first, God, and say, Lord, would you lead us into a new season of freedom? Father, freedom to spend time with the people we want to spend time with without the restrictions, God. Freedom to remove the masks, Father. Freedom to be able to sing out your praises together and to lift our voices in worship to you. To sing of your glory because of the great things that you have done. Father, we pray for wisdom for the leadership of this nation, especially as they have to make decisions about next steps and what's going to be happening later this month. Father, we pray for great wisdom to be upon them at this time. Father, we thank you that you are a great God, a faithful God. And that we pray that right across this world, Father, where there is so much suffering at this time, God, that you would raise up people that can bring relief, that can bring hope in these desperate situations, Father. God, we pray that through all of this, your name would indeed be glorified, that people would see your greatness, God. That in desperation, people would turn to you. Father, we pray for our city. Lord, we pray for your favor upon it. Lord God, we pray that you would help us, each of us in our lives, to play our parts, Father, in being a witness, in being a light to shine in the darkness, Father. Lord, we pray for your church in this city, Lord, in this area, God, that you would enable us to rise up from this difficult, challenging time, Father, and again, just be that beacon of light and hope in desperate times. And Father, we bring before you our own personal requests, God, those things that are weighing heavy in our hearts and minds today, God, that you already know, because you know our thoughts. Your word tells us that. But in these moments, we bring them before you and ask for you to work in these situations, to bring healing when there is sickness, to bring provision where there is need, and to bring hope where there is despair, Father. Father, thank you that we have confidence that when we pray, we know you hear. And we know that when you hear, you will answer. And we pray all of these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, you younger members of the church, it's almost time for you to go to your Sunday class and to learn some exciting things. And if I've been informed rightly, you're going to be learning the same as what the grown-ups are learning in here. And it's about this man called Peter and his first sermon. Yes, Penny is nodding, so it's good. It's always a good sign. So you're going to be learning about this man called Peter. And Peter was an interesting person because he always tried really, really hard to do the right thing and do the things that God wanted him to do and be the best that he could be. But the problem is that, just pulled the back off of that. Peter, in his attempts to try and get things right, often made mistakes. Has anybody here ever made a mistake? You're very honest children, well done. I'm very impressed with your honesty there. See, we all make mistakes, but Peter made quite a few. Now, the thing is, Peter was also quite a sort of a brave person. He always really wanted to try new things, and like I said, be the best that he could be. And there was one time when all of the disciples, all of Jesus' friends, were in this boat, and Jesus comes to them, and he's like walking on the water. Have you heard that story? I don't know if you've ever tried this. I have. It doesn't work. But Jesus is walking on the water, and Jesus says to all the people in the boat, he says, hey, come on, you try it. And only one of them does, and it's Peter. Because he wants to be the best. He wants to do great things. So he steps out and he starts walking. And he starts doing it. And it's great. Peter is walking on the water. But then he loses his concentration and he stops looking at Jesus. And do you know what happens? He starts sinking. So Peter didn't quite get that right, even though he gave it a go. And then there was this other time when Jesus was arrested. So just before Jesus gets put onto the cross, he's arrested in this garden. And people come and they're being mean to Jesus and they're hurting him. And Peter comes and he gets a sword and he chops off the ear of one of the guards. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. This isn't what you're meant to do. Stop. We're not going to be fighting with swords. Don't worry. See, Peter got it wrong again. He makes mistakes. And then after Jesus had been arrested, Peter tells people that he doesn't even know Jesus. Imagine that, if like your best friend at school, you went around telling everybody that you didn't even know them. You pretended like, no, don't know him, don't know her. Well, that's what Peter did. Not once, not twice, but three times before a rooster crowed. Before that happened, Peter said three times that he didn't know Jesus. He failed again. You see, Peter kept making mistakes, even though he was trying really, really hard to be the best he could be and do the things that God wanted him to do. But then came this day called Pentecost. And you may have learned about that last week or the past couple of weeks. Pentecost is when God gives the people that believe in him this amazing present, this gift, called the Holy Spirit. And so Peter has the Holy Spirit now, and things change. Because Peter stands up in front of a big crowd of people and he starts preaching like this. He starts preaching to them and talking to them about God and saying, "Ah, this is who Jesus was, and this is what you did to him, and now this is what you need to do." And suddenly, because of the Holy Spirit, Peter gets it right. Peter gets it right. He gets a tick. He gets an A+, gold star, boom, house points. He gets it all because God's Holy Spirit is now helping him to be the best person he can be and do the things that God wants him to do. So there's a couple of lessons that I want us to learn from today before we go and learn a lot more about this in a fun, creative way with Penny, I'm sure. And this is that Peter persisted. Does anybody know what persisting means? No? Okay. Persisting means that you keep going. You keep trying. So Peter persisted. He kept trying. He kept going. Even though he got some things wrong and he made mistakes and drowned and sank a bit, he kept going and he kept trying to do the things that God wanted him to do and be the person that God wanted him to be. And eventually, that led to success. And the second thing is that Peter relied on the power that God had given him, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I said that it was a present. Who likes getting presents? Do you like getting presents? I do. It's Father's Day soon, and I'm very excited about Father's Day because I have three children, so I'm expecting some good presents. And that's a warning to all of you. It's Father's Day in about 2 weeks, okay? So get shopping. And presents are good, and God has given all of us a present. Men and women, boys and girls. And that present is this person called the Holy Spirit. And that's what you're going to be learning a bit more about today. And how with the Holy Spirit, we can get cha-ching, a big tick in the things that we do for God. So I hope you have lots of fun. And we pray that God will help you understand this a little bit more as you go now and learn about this more with Penny. So is that all right? Unless you want to stay, you can stay if you want. Okay, so that was kind of a good introduction to what we're going to be looking at as well, wasn't it, really? It wasn't just the kids' slot, as we call it. But we're going to be looking at Peter's first sermon. And the title of this morning that I was given was Peter's first sermon, ... and his best. And so we're going to be unpacking that a little bit more for ourselves. But first, we are going to read the account of this from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 14 to 41. And from the NIV Version, it says this: "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, you put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. And seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God had raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Now when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And then with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That would have been an amazing thing to have seen, to have been part of. You know, in our modern day and age, our modern culture, where we rely on amazing people like Dave to make sure all the technical stuff works, and we have microphones and sound systems, it's incredible to think that Peter stood up with none of that, and he spoke to a crowd, and 3,000 people were added to the kingdom of God on that day. And my hope and my prayer is that we, in our time, may see things like this again in our land, in our nation. We're going to have our second song of the morning now, and again, a time to reflect on some of the things that we've just been reading about and hearing about this person, Jesus. This is Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God.
Man of Sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own sin of men and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Sent of heaven, and redeem, and debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. The Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. The Son sets free.
Going to take some time now to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us by sharing in communion. And just to remind us of why we do this and what Jesus said, just reading those words from 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul writes that I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself, that on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it into pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And then in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying that this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. We're going to distribute the bread and the wine sets. And as we do, we're going to prepare to do what it says here. We're going to announce the Lord's death. And for me, I always see communion as an act of remembrance, because this is what we're doing. We're remembering the precious blood that Jesus shed for each and every one of us, the way that he went to that rugged cross to pay the price for our sin. So if you want to begin to open your packets, and if you've prepared yourself some bread and some juice at home, we're going to take our bread products, if we're able to access them. And Jesus said that this is my body broken for you, broken for all who will choose to believe in the way, the life, and the truth. Let's take this together and remember him. And then towards the end of that meal that they shared together, Jesus took a glass of the wine. And he said that this is my promise, the blood that is poured out for you, poured out for your forgiveness, for I will pay what is due. Let's drink this wine together as we remember his sacrifice for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the freedom that you bought for each and every one of us. We thank you for the forgiveness for our past, the new life that we can live with you today, and the hope that we will always have for our future because of what you did on that cross and how you rose again to life. Lord, we remember and we rejoice in all that you have done for us. And in your precious name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Was everybody okay and able to open and take part in? Excellent. So it's really good to be back here with you and to be part of the series that you've been working through recently in the book of Acts. And like I said previously, I was allotted the 6th of June and given the title Peter's First Sermon and His Best. And there are only a couple of times that Peter's sermons, his preaching, are recorded in Scripture, and this one certainly does stand out as the most powerful and the most effective one that he preaches. And this is a significant moment in the history of the early church. It's where this dynamic shift happens from the followers of Jesus knowing about and having been taught about the Holy Spirit to now receiving it for themselves. And the Holy Spirit had been promised by Jesus. Like I said earlier, it was a gift that he'd said he was going to send them. And in John 14, we read verses where Jesus says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. The Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him, because he lives with you now and will be in you later. And that's John 14, verses 16 and 17. And for me, that final part, verse 17 there of John 14, sums up what was happening at Pentecost. Because Jesus told his followers previously that the Holy Spirit lives with you now. The Holy Spirit was there. But what was coming was that the Holy Spirit would then live in you. And that was the big difference. That was what changed at this time of Pentecost that we pick up our story from today. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to his followers. He said that he will come upon you in Acts 1 verse 8. And one translation of scripture says that when he comes upon you, you will be seized with power. And then you will be my messengers in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. And this is where we land today in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on the followers of Jesus, and they're jibber-jabbering in all kinds of languages that people don't understand, and people think that they've been on the wine a bit too early, and that maybe they're drunk. They don't understand what is going on. But it's in this context that this one man, Peter, who, like I said, had previously made a few blunders and mistakes along the way, he is seized with power, as the scripture said. And he gets straight to work in doing the thing that Jesus had said that they would do when the Holy Spirit came, that they would be his messengers in Jerusalem. And that's where we find ourselves. That's where the followers were gathering. That's where the crowds were for the festival of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit begins to fill the believers. They are seized with power, and Peter stands up to deliver his first and best sermon. Talk about hitting the ground running. Literally, he's filled with the power of the Spirit, and bang, straight away, he starts to preach to the crowd. He puts this new power to use. So we're going to look at some of these verses in Acts 2 that we read earlier. And I tend to read from the New Living Translation, so some of the quotes that I'm going to be quoting will be from that. That's how I've prepared, but whatever version you have, it's the same word. They're just maybe slightly different words that I use. But we're going to be looking at that. But whenever I share something from God's word, I'm always keen to try and see how it applies to our life here and now today. And so as we're going to go through, we're going to be looking at sort of tips that we can learn from Peter in terms of being a witness, in terms of sharing the good news of Jesus. Because like Jesus said to the followers, and we are his followers, it starts in Jerusalem, it goes throughout Judea, and then goes to the remotest places on earth. And that includes Fareham. And that includes here. And it includes this whole area and this city and this region, wherever you live. And so we need to be ready to do the kind of things that Peter did. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all going to get to stand up on a platform or on a rock or on temple steps, wherever this event took place. We may never get to preach to crowds of people that are 3,000 plus, but we can take tips about what it means to share the good news of the gospel with people where we are. And we do that through conversations with family, with friends, with colleagues that we work with, people at our schools or our colleges, our neighbors. And so what can we learn from Peter's first and best sermon? Well, firstly, I want to pick up this point. So this was just the point I made earlier, that the Holy Spirit was already with them, but then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was in them. And because we now live this side of Pentecost, we know that we have the Holy Spirit in us here and now today. The same Holy Spirit that enabled and empowered Peter to do what he did. So the tips that I'm going to pick up from Peter's sermon, that he had the other disciples with him. Now, obviously, Peter gets the credit. He's the headline speaker of this Pentecost festival event, this preach. But it says in verse 14 that the other disciples were there with him, the 11 other apostles, as he shouted to the crowd. And this, for me, just speaks about the fact that we need others to support us. Like I said, we may never get to stand on a platform and have a team of people around us supporting us in that way, but we can be praying for one another and supporting one another in that sense. Praying for opportunities for each other to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people that we come into contact with. When I stand up to perform, again, if you don't remember my background or know what I do as a day job, I run a performing arts charity that creatively communicates the Christian faith. And in recent times, the past couple of years, the majority of that work has been one-man shows. So it is just me going out to do a performance with a whole bunch of props and bits and pieces. But I am never alone when I do that, because I have other people standing with me in prayer. And I know that even though I might be the face there doing the thing, there are the others with me supporting me. And it's important for all of us that we have others who are united in that purpose and that mind. A bit later on in Acts 4:32, we are told in the sense of the formation of the church that all the believers were united in heart and mind. They were together in what they were seeking to achieve. We need to have people that will be praying for us and supporting us and standing with us as we seek to share the good news of Jesus with other people. So that's our first tip. That's a brief one. The second one is that Peter knew his audience. He knew his audience. What do I mean by this? Well, it's a thing in performance or when you're talking to a group that you try and understand where they're coming from so that you can better relate to them and communicate with them. And Peter certainly knew his audience. We read about it in verses 14 to 16, especially where he says, "My fellow Jews," where he says, "residents of Jerusalem." And then a bit later, he says, "people of Israel," or as the NIV said just then, "fellow Israelites." You see, what he is doing with all of these statements is he is relating to his audience. He is letting them know that he is one of them, that he understands them. He understands their history and their culture, and he knows the same things that they know. He is speaking to them as someone who understands them and what they think already. He refers to the prophecy of Joel. That's the big part of the day of Pentecost, the prophecy about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't have to sort of explain who Joel is or what the prophecy is or where it came from or when it happened in history, because the people will already know that he's speaking to. That's why, like today, you could reference a famous footballer or a famous pop star and everybody would just go, "Oh yeah, I know that person," because there's that shared understanding. Peter knew his audience would know about the prophet Joel. And then he brings out the big guns. He references King David, the greatest of Israel's kings, and he uses the words of King David to prove that Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy, the promised Messiah that they had all been waiting for, because as a Jewish person himself, he was one of them. And he explains in verses 25 onwards about what David said and how David spoke about the coming Messiah, that death would not be able to hold him, that he would overcome death, his body would not rot in the grave. And then he says, "God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses to this." You see, when you and I are talking to people today in our daily lives, it's important that we try and know our audience, that we try to understand who we're talking to and maybe the situations that they are currently facing. Now, it may not be that you have a similar shared life experience with these people, some of the people that we may come into contact with. And that's fine, because that's where we get to rely on the gift. That's where we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us relate to the people that we're talking to. And we can do this by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and in particular, thinking about words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We read about these as gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And we were thinking about this back at our own church, Riverside Family Church down in Northam, just last week, about the gifts of a word of knowledge for somebody. So where you can be talking to your audience, whether that's a group or just one person, and God can give you something about that person so that you can relate to them in a better way and suddenly have that connection with them that maybe wasn't there before. This can happen for you and me today. And I'm excited. I've been praying just this past week or two. I really want to experience a word of knowledge for somebody. I want to not for my own glory or benefit, but just so that I can see the effect that that has on an audience, on somebody else, to be able to talk to them about something in their life that I had no prior knowledge of because God's Holy Spirit has revealed it. This can happen for you and for me today, 2,000 years or so after Pentecost, because of the words that the prophet Joel spoke about some 800 years or so before that day happened. Because in that prophecy, it said in verses 17 to 18 of Acts 2, that in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. So Peter knew his audience. And then the next thing I want to look at is that this gift of the Holy Spirit is for all people. I don't know if you've ever, this isn't in my notes, I'm just sort of going to share it, but sometimes you can maybe meet somebody and you're talking to them, and in my early days as a Christian, you're like, ah, you're a mess. You don't deserve to hear this. You don't deserve to know about God. And I admit, in some of my early days as a Christian, that was kind of the thing that I would think, that actually, this is something I've got, and I'm going to keep this for myself. And yet, what Peter displayed here is that the message of the gospel, the good news, was for all the people that were gathered there. All the people that had come in for the festival, all these people that spoke these different languages and were now hearing their own languages because of what the Holy Spirit was doing. It was for all people. And today, as we read this, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is for all people. This very fact would be later confirmed again by Peter when he had a dream. A dream that led him to visit somebody called Cornelius. And the abridged version of that story is that the Holy Spirit wasn't just for now the Jewish believers. Actually, it was going to be for the Gentile believers as well, the new converts. And in Acts 10:44, it says that even as Peter was saying these things, talking to Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. Prophecy and visions and dreams that the prophet Joel spoke about, they're just the start. They're just the beginning of what people, all people, can experience when they are filled with the Holy Spirit and allow God to pour the Holy Spirit into their life. I referenced 1 Corinthians 12. Paul writes to the church at Corinth about the Holy Spirit and about the gifts that are then poured out into the lives of believers. And he says, his very first sentence in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. It doesn't say that a spiritual gift will be given to some of you and we're going to pick names out of a hat. Doesn't say that a spiritual gift will be given to a few of you who God chooses because you're going to need it. It says that a spiritual gift is given to each of us who choose to believe in God and have that relationship with Him. And it goes on to talk about the fact that one person will have the ability to give wise advice. The other will have the same spirit will give a special message of knowledge. The same spirit gives great faith to someone. The same spirit will give a gift of healing. that one person can perform miracles, another will have the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or another spirit. And he gives people the ability to speak in unknown languages, and others get the ability to interpret those languages. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Because of this moment in Acts, because of Pentecost, because of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, all of us here today, tuning in at home, watching during this week, all of us can do the things that Peter did. All of us have that same power available to us to stand and to do the thing that God has asked us to do. And when we get the Holy Spirit and we fully embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can go from being somebody that kind of doesn't quite maybe get things right and muddles around a bit, like Peter in his past, to being someone that can boldly stand up, courageously speak to a large crowd of people, or whatever it is that God may ask you to do. We can do that, all of us, because of the Holy Spirit. The final point from this is that we need to make the message clear. Make it clear. Verse 36 of Acts 2 says, and this is Peter concluding his message, he says, "Let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." You know, he'd spoken a lot before that, and it goes on to say that he spoke a lot more after that as well. But really, he could have just stood up and said this: "Hey, everybody, you need to know that God made Jesus to be the Lord and Messiah." That was the clear message. After having explained all the history and the links to David and the prophecy, Peter makes sure that people know the clear message of what he's trying to communicate. And in verse 38, he goes on to explain to them what they now have to do in response to what they've heard. And it says, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You know, in this age of social action, there's a lot of social action that takes place in the church. And by that I mean helping those who are less fortunate, feeding those that are hungry, helping people with debt, with clothing, all of these kind of things. And that is right, and that is good, and that is what Jesus commanded us to do. But the danger with all of the social action is that it stops there. We can meet somebody's physical need, but then never speak to them about their spiritual need. And there comes a point, I believe firmly, where the good news of Jesus has to be made clear to people using actual words. We actually tell them about the gospel. And in this day and age, that becomes even more challenging with political correctness and what you can and can't say. And through social media, again, how we can share different things, but how you can be censored for the different types of things you might want to share. I used to fall into the trap again earlier as a Christian of thinking, well, I went to Sunday school when I was younger. I became a Christian through the Boys Brigade and involvement in that. And, you know, I went to Sunday school. I learned about Jesus. So surely everybody knows about God and Jesus. But the truth is, even more so right here and now today, people don't know about Jesus because they haven't gone through a Sunday school. They haven't been taught about it in their school assemblies or collective worship, as it's called now. It's up to people like you and me to be witnesses, to be messengers in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And the only way we can do that is by being filled with the Holy Spirit to enable us and empower us to accomplish this. It was Peter who wrote in his letter, in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 15. He said that if somebody asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Like I said, we may never get opportunities to stand up in big auditoriums and preach from a platform, but we all need to be ready to explain why we've chosen to follow this person called Jesus. And we can learn some good stuff from Peter's best sermon of how he goes through the process and he explains things and then tells people what they now need to do in response. You know, at the start of this year, God highlighted a verse of scripture to me and I wrote it down. I've got it pinned up on my desk at work. And it was 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. And this is Paul writing. He says, "My message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit." I don't know if you've heard that acrostic KISS, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, Simon. Yeah? For me, it's that kind of thing. In this day and age, there will be men and women and boys and girls that want the detail. They need everything explained from creation right through to this moment in time. And I pray that if you meet those people, God gives you the wisdom and the words to share with them what they need to hear. But for me, the message of Jesus needs to be made clear and simple. It doesn't need highfalutin words. It doesn't need lots of theological explanation in the first instance. People just need to hear your story. They need to hear about your experience of Jesus and how it has made an impact on your life. Be ready to explain your hope as a believer. And it says that he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we finish today, let me ask you here, let me ask you tuning in, do you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to talking to people about Jesus? Or, like I've done many a time in the past, do we get all a bit kerfuddled and confused and nervous and the palms sweat and the knees knock and the heart beats and we get all nervous because we're thinking we've got to do it and we don't know what to say and we don't know all the right stuff? Paul says we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened on this day of Pentecost. When Peter stood up, he had other people around him to support him. That's what enabled him to then preach that message. He knew the people he was talking to. And we need to do that as well, either with our own understanding and knowledge of the people we're relating to and meeting, or by asking the Holy Spirit to give us those words of knowledge and wisdom so that we can better interact with them. You need to know that the Holy Spirit is for you today. It's great to read about Acts and what happened at Pentecost and what Peter did, but that same Holy Spirit is living inside each and every one of us today. And that means that you too can go and do the things that God asks you to do. And as you do that, I guess my challenge, my plea to you is to make the message of Jesus clear. Make it clear and rely on the Holy Spirit as you do. Because as the prophet Zechariah said, it's not by force, it's not by strength or by might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's how we achieve the things God wants us to achieve. That's how we see the results that Peter saw on that first day when he stood and preached. It'd be amazing if we could think that we will see 3,000 people come into the kingdom of God at some point in our lives. It'd be nice to see 300. Be nice if we saw 3 as a start. But we can do this through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And as we follow the example of Peter that we see in this message, As we do these things, we too can get to that point where, as we read in Acts 2:21, at the end of that prophecy from Joel, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you gave your people the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that today we will receive it afresh in our lives. Lord God, that you will refill us, Lord God, pour out your Spirit on us, so that we can be your messengers, we can be your witnesses in our Jerusalems, Lord, in our Judeas, even to the places that you lead us to. And that, Father, as we go, we will rely on the power of your Spirit to enable us to do the things that you ask us to do. Help us to relate to the people that we meet, to understand them, and to be able to speak clearly the good news into their lives. Help us to have people to support us as we do that, but also to be a support to others and to stand with others in what they do, Father. And we thank you that this promise is for each and every one of us, for every boy and girl, for every man and woman, whether we are young or whether we are old, we are all included in this promise. Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that it would land into our hearts and our minds today, Lord, and the seed would land on good soil, and you'd help this to grow in us in the coming days and weeks. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to listen to our last song together, which is In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. He is my light, my strength, my song. And if you ever feel stuck for words when you have an opportunity to share your hope in Jesus, then that's not a bad thing to quote. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Let's listen to this together.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Since curse has lost Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
As we finish our time together this morning, just a word of blessing. As that song just said, that you would know that you are held in God's hand and that nothing that happens on this earth can ever pluck you, can ever take you from the hands of God. So be assured today of his presence with you. Be assured today of his provision for all you need. And be assured today of his power working in you and through you, because these are the promises of God for all who choose to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.